Insen milkom, jina Margaret Ajus, u nilqakom għal programm ieħor fis-serje l-ħrejjet, l-erf u l-maġija. Iktar madonni reżistejt nitkellem dwar kittieba tal-ħrejjef pal-Grimm u Anderson, iktar ma nistax nieqaf naqra dwarhom. Inkredibbli kemm kultant iqarqu bik dawn in-nies, kemm ikunu kumplessi. Pal fil-każ ta' Hans Christian Andersen. Ngħidilkom il-verità, bdejt ngħid wija mhux kulħadd jaf minn hu, mhux kulħadd ara xi ħaġa minn tiegħu. Iżda niskoprej dwaru kien pjuttost allarmanti. Il-psikologi u l-psikjatri għandhom kedda biex jippruvaw jifhmu minn hu dan il-bniedem. Fil-fatt kien enigma. Biss l-orjentazzjoni sessuali kienet qajmet kontroversja ma' ċriki akademiċi. U dwar dan, u dwar il-fanatiċiżmu reliġjuż u dualizmu li kellu f'ħajtu, kif ukoll l-imħabba miex reċiprokata, se nitkellmu fil-programmi li ġejjin. U llum se nitkellmu dwar it-tfulija tiegħu. Li wkoll kienet kurjuża, għaliex qatt li kellu trobbija għumli ħafna, huwa maħsub li kien it-tifel ta' re. Meta Hans kien Danis. Twila ġol-bel ta' Odens fit-2 ta' April ta' 1805. Kien nunuku tifel ta' skarpan u ħassiela. Hemm teoriji li Andersen kien fil-fatt liben il-leġittimu tar-re Christian is-7 tad-Danimarka. Ir-re Friedrich is-6 der li kellu interess personali f'Andersen u fil-fatt ħallas għall-edukazzjoni tiegħu. Iżda kien missieru l-iskarpan li kellu edukazzjoni primarja li introduċih mal-letteratura u kien jaqralu l-Arabian Nights. Meta Andersen kellu 11 sena, missieru l-iskarpan miet u ommu sentejn wara reġgħet iż-żewġet. Sinsemmalkom silta minn ħrafa li jisima About a Little Boy and a Little Girl. Id-deskrizzjoni li se tisimgħu ta' kif kienu jgħixu dawn it-tfal flimkien ma' deskrizzjoni ta' djar kienet eżatt pal dik tat-tfulija ta' Andersen. Mela, xiex nisimgħuha? About a little boy and a little girl. In a big town crowded with houses and people, where there is no room for gardens, people have to be content with flowers and pots instead. In one of these towns lived two children who managed to have something bigger than a flower pot for a garden. They were not brother and sister, but they were just as fond of each other as if they had been. Their parents lived opposite each other in two attic rooms. The roof of one house just touched the roof of the next one, with only a rainwater gutter between them. They each had a little dormer window, and one only had to step over the gutter to get from one house to the other. Each of the parents had a large window box, in which they grew pot herbs and a little roastery. There was one in each box, and they both grew splendidly. Then it occurred to the parents to put the boxes across the gutter, from house to house, and they looked just like two banks of flowers. The pea vines hung down over the edges of the boxes, and the roses threw out long creepers which twined around the windows. It was almost like a green triumphal arch. The boxes were high, and the children knew they must not climb up onto them, for they were often allowed to have their little stools out under the rose trees, and there they had delightful games. Of course, in the winter, there was an end to these amusements. The windows were often covered with hoar frost. Then they would warm coppers on the stove and stick them on the frozen panes, where they made lovely peepholes as round as possible. Then a bright eye would peep through these holes, one from each window. The little boy's name was Kay, and the little girl's Gerda. Irnexxieli nsibu wkoll l-autobiografija ta' Hans Christian Andersen, Blisenta, the true story of my life. Wazltilkom xi siltiet dwar it-tfulija ta' dan il-kittieb. Il-vuċi ta' Hans Christian Andersen hija ta' Heinrich Pischke.
In the year 1805, there lived here, in a small mean room, a young married couple who were extremely attached to each other. He was a shoemaker, scarcely 22 years old, a man of richly gifted and truly poetical mind. His wife, a few years older than himself, was ignorant of life and of the world, but possessed a heart full of love. The young man had himself made his shoemaking bench and the bedstead with which he began housekeeping. This bedstead he had made out of the wooden frame which had borne only a short time before the coffin of the deceased, Count Tramp, as he lay in state, and the remnants of the black cloth on the woodwork kept the fact still in remembrance. Our little room, which was almost filled with the shoemaker's bench, the bed, and my crib, was the abode of my childhood. The walls, however, were covered with pictures, and over the workbench was a cupboard containing books and songs. The little kitchen was full of shining plates and metal pans, and by means of a ladder it was possible to go out on the roof, where in the gutters between and the neighbor's house there stood a great chest filled with soil, my mother's sole garden, and where she grew her vegetables, in my story of the Snow Queen that garden still blooms. I was the only child and was extremely spoiled, but continually heard from my mother how very much happier I was than she had been, and that I was brought up like a nobleman's child. She, as a child, had been driven out by her parents to beg, and once, when she was not able to do it, she had sat for a whole day under a bridge and wept. My father gratified me in all my wishes. I possessed his whole heart. He lived for me. On some days, he made me perspective glasses, theatres and pictures which would be changed. He read to me from Holberg's plays and the Arabian tales. It was only in such moments as these that I can remember to have seen him really cheerful, for he never felt himself happy in his life and as a handicraftsman. His parents had been country people in good circumstances, but many misfortunes had fallen. The cattle had died, the farmhouse had been burned down, and lastly, the husband had lost his reason. On this, the wife had removed with him to Odense, and there put her son, whose mind was full of intelligence, apprentice to a shoemaker. He could not be otherwise, although it was his ardent wish to be able to attend the grammar school, where he might have learned Latin. My poor father saw his dearest wish unfulfilled, and he never lost the remembrance of it. I recollect that once, as a child, I saw tears in his eyes, and it was when a youth from the grammar school came to our house to be measured for a new pair of boots, and showed us his books and told us what he learned. "That was the path upon which I ought to have gone," said my father, kissed me passionately, and was silent the whole evening. He very seldom associated with his equals. He went out into the woods on Sundays, when he took me with him. He did not talk much when he was out, but would sit silently, sunk in deep thought, while I ran about and strung strawberries on the straw or bound garlands. Only twice in a year, and that in the month of May, when the woods were arrayed in their earliest green, did my mother go with us, and then she wore a cotton gown, which she put on only on these occasions. And when she partook of the Lord's Supper, which, as long as I can remember, was a holiday gown, she always took home with her from the wood a great many fresh beech boughs, which were then planted behind a polished stone. Late in the year, sprigs of St. John's wort were struck into chinks of the beams, and we considered their growth as omens whether our lives would be long or short. Green branches and pictures ornamented our little room, which my mother always kept neat and clean. She took great pride in always having the bed linen and the curtains very white. After my father's death, I was entirely left to myself. My mother went out washing. I sat alone at home with my little theater, made doll's clothes and read plays. It has been told me that I was always clean and nicely dressed. I had grown tall. My hair was long, bright, and almost yellow, and I always went bareheaded. The son of one of our neighbors worked in a clothes manufactory, and every week brought home a sum of money. I was at a loose end, people said, and got nothing. I was also now to go to the manufactory, not for the sake of the money, my mother said, but that she might know where I was and what I was doing. Many of the journeymen who were employed in the manufactory were Germans. They sang and were merry fellows. I was possessed at that time of a remarkably beautiful and high soprano voice, and I knew it, because when I sang in my parents' little garden, the people in the street stood and listened, and the fine folks in the garden of the States Councillor, which adjoined ours, listened at the fence. When, therefore, the people at the manufactory asked me whether I could sing, I immediately began, and all the looms stood still. All the journeymen listened to me. I had to sing again and again, whilst the other boys had my work given them to do. I now told them that I also could act plays, and that I knew whole scenes of Holberg and Shakespeare. Everybody liked me, and in this way the first days in the manufactory passed on very merrily. One day, however, when I was in my best singing vein, and everybody spoke of the extraordinary brilliancy of my voice, one of the journeymen said that I was a girl and not a boy. He seized hold of me. I cried and screamed. The other journeymen thought it very amusing and held me fast by my arms and legs. I screamed aloud and was as much ashamed as a girl, and then, darting from them, rushed home to my mother, who immediately promised me that I should never go there again.
Mela mindik l-autobiografija, ġeneraw kem kien konfus dwar min kien dal il-bniedem, dwar l-identità tiegħu, għax fil-fatt diġà bdew idaħlulu dubji f'moħħu jekk kienx tifel jew tifla. Issa l-bidu Anderson intbagħat fis-skola tal-fqar u kellu wkoll jaħdem ma' assistent bħala nisieċ u aktar tard ma' ħajjat. Meta kellu 14-il sena, mar Copenhagen biex jaħdem bħala attur, iżda id-direttur taħ parir li jitgħallem sena. Ma maqtax qalbu u prova ikellem kritiku famuża li kienet l-aqwa prima ballerina ta' dak iż-żmien, iżda mar nexxielu jagħmel xejn. Ma tiskanta kemm ma kienx jaqta' qalbu għalkemm kien daqshekk ta' età tanżajra. Kompla jagħmel l-almu tiegħu u fl-aħħar bil-ġuħ kif kien spiċċa biex mar iħabbat lil ċertu Giuseppe Siboni, il-direttur ta' Royal Choir School, li inserta kienet jippranza ma' ċertu Weiss, kompożitur famuż li bħal Anderson kienx darba f'qir. Dan tal-aħħar tħassru u taħsomma flus biex ikun jista' imantni lilu nnifsu u jkun jista' jistudja ma' Siboni u oħrajn li kellhom x'jaqsmu mat-Teatru Rjal. Ħajja Anderson inbidlet mill-lejla n-nar, għax matul il-ġurnata kien jistudja u fil-għaxija jagħmel konoxxenzi ġodda. Kien jippreferi jonfoq il-flus tiegħu fuq il-kotba milli jiekol u hawnhekk kien jiġi mitlub biex ikanta f'dinner parties kif kien jagħmel meta kien jgħix f'Odense. Għatta 3 snin din il-ħajja iżda l-kemm ħa ħafna esperjenza kemm fir-reċtar, sfin, kant وفي الكذبة سوفرا ħafna, kem fizikament, kif ukoll psikologikament. Speċjalment meta spiċċa tkeċċa minn din l-iskola għaliex qalulu li ma kellux futur fit-teatru, l-aktar meta l-vuċi tiegħu kienet f'daqqa waħda inbidlet. Imbagħad beda jikkonċentra fuq it-talent li kien baqalu dak ta' drammaturgu. Iżda l-isforzi kollha tiegħu biex jagħmel suċċess dan il-qasam sfaw fix-xejn. Però bis-saħħa tek id-destin laqgħu mad-direttur finanzjarju tat-Teatru Rjal li b'fondi tar-re tad-Danimarka offrewlu edukazzjoni aħjar u fil-fatt daħluh ġo skola sekondarja. U għalkemm kien 6 snin akbar minn sħabu ma qatax qalbu u koll jekk is-surmas li kellu beda joħloqlu l-ostakli għaliex ħass li la kien ġej minn klassi baxxa ma kienx jistħoqlu l-privileġġi tas-sinjuri u kien ifixklu b'kull mod. Per eżempju, ma kienx iħallih jikteb b'mod kreattiv. Anderson beda jiddispra u beda jikteb lill-ommu. Ittri biex ikun jista' jiżvoga, iżdi ħasbet li kien qiegħed jaġġibhom. Meta kellu 21 sena biex jisfida lil dan is-surmast, kiteb poeżija The Dying Child. Is-surmast qal li l-poeżija kienet ħażina ħafna. U wieħed mill-għalliema tant ħassru lil Anderson u tant allarma ruħu li ikkonvinċa lil-omm Anderson biex toħorġu minn din l-iskola. Is-sofferenzi kollha ta' Anderson huma miġburin f'din il-poeżija isimgħuha The Dying Child ta' Hans Christian Andersen. Mother, I'm tired, and I would fain be sleeping. Let me repose upon thy bosom sick, but promise me that thou wilt leave off weeping, because thy tears fall hot upon my cheek. Here it is cold, the tempest raveth madly, but in my dreams all is so wondrous bright. I see the angel children smiling gladly, when from my weary eyes I shut out light. Mother, one stands beside me now, and listen, dost thou not hear the music's sweet accord? See how his white wings beautifully glisten. Surely those wings were given him by the Lord. Green, gold, and red are floating all around me. They are the flowers the angels scatter it. Should I have also wings while life has bound me? Or, mother, are they given alone in death? Why dost thou clasp me as if I were going? Why dost thou press thy cheek so unto mine? Thy cheek is hot, and yet thy tears are flowing. I will, dear mother, will always be thine. Do not sigh thus, it marreth my reposing. But if thou weep, then I must weep with thee. Ah, I am tired, my weary eyes are closing. Look, mother, look, the angel kisseth me. Kif semmejna qabel, daw ma kienux l-uniċi sofferenzi li għadda minnhom Anderson. Kif kont semmejtilkom meta kien żgħir minħabba li kienu fqar u ma setgħux ilaħqu mal-ħajja, Anderson intbagħat jaħdem ma nisiex. U se taraw minn din ir-rafa li jisimha The 24th Evening kif il-ħajja sempliċi u fqira ta' dan it-tifel Bertel, dan it-tifel tal-istorja, taqbel ħafna mat-tfulija ta' Anderson innifsu. Fil-fatt, il-kittib li jissa kiber, li jissa għadda minn ħafna esperjenzi u dar id-dinja, fl-istorja qed iħares lura u jiftakar fis-sempliċità li kien jgħix fiha hu stess. Fil-fatt jgħid, "Then I thought of the poor little room." Mela qaraw kemm hi ħelwa din ir-rafa. The 24th Evening ta' Hans Christian Andersen. Hear what the moon told me. Several years ago, I was in Copenhagen. I peeped in at the window of a poor little room. The father and mother were both asleep, but their little son was awake. I saw the flowered chintz curtains staring, and the child peeped out. I thought at first that he was looking at the grandfather's clock from Bornholm. It was gaily painted in red and green, and a cuckoo sat at the top. It had heavy laden weights, and the pendulum, with its shining brass disc, swung backwards and forwards. Tick-tack. But that was not what he was looking at. No, it was his mother's spinning wheel, which stood under the clock. It was the boy's dearest treasure and all the house, but he dared not touch it, or he would be rapped over the knuckles. He would stand for hours, while his mother was spinning, looking at the whirling spindle and the whizzing wheel, and he had his own thoughts about them. Oh, if only he dared spin with that wheel. Father and mother were asleep. He looked at them. He looked at the wheel. And soon he put one bare little foot out of bed, and then another little bare foot, followed by two little legs. Bump! There he stood upon the floor. He turned round once more to see if father and mother were still asleep. Yes, they were fast asleep. So he went softly, very softly, in his short little shirt to the wheel and began to spin. The cord flew off, and the wheel ran faster and faster. I kissed his yellow hair and his large blue eyes. It was a pretty picture. His mother woke just then. She put the curtain aside and looked out and thought she saw a brownie or some other little sprite. "In heaven's name," she said, pushing her husband. He opened his eyes, rubbed them, and looked at the busy little figure. "Why, it's our Bertel," he said. And my eye turned away from the poor little room. My glances extend so far that at the same moment I looked in at the galleries of the Vatican, where the sculptured gods stand. I flooded the lacoon group with my light, and the marble seemed to sigh. I pressed a gentle kiss upon the bosom of the muses. They almost seemed to move. But my glance rested longest upon the great Nile group with the colossal god. He leant pensively against the Sphinx, dreamy and thoughtful, as if he was pondering on the bygone years. Little cupids played around him, sporting with the crocodiles. One tiny little cupid sat inside the cornucopia with his arms folded, looking at the great solemn river god. He was a true picture of the little boy at the spinning wheel. His features were the same. This little marble child was lifelike and graceful in the extreme, yet the wheel of time had turned more than 1,000 times since he sprang from the marble. Just so many times as the little boy turned the spinning wheel, in the humble little room had the greater wheel of time whirled round, and yet will whirl, before the present time creates marble gods like these. "Now all this happened years ago," continued the moon. "Yesterday I looked down onto a bay on the east coast of Zealand. The cliffs round it were beautifully wooded, and in the midst of the woods stood an old red castle with swans swimming in the moat. A little country town lay near, with its church buried among apple trees. A procession of boats with blazing torches glided over the smooth waters. These torches were not lighted for spearing eels. No, it was a great festivity. There were sounds of music and singing, and in one of the boats stood the object of all the homage. He was a tall, powerful man, wrapped in a cloak. He had blue eyes and long white hair. I knew him, and thought of the Vatican, and the Nile group among all the sculptured gods. When I thought of the poor little room, I believe it was in Gröngade, where little Bertel sat spinning in his little shirt. The wheel of time had been turning, and new gods have arisen from the marble since then. From the boats came, 'Hurrah, hurrah for Bertel Thorwaldsen!' Thank you. ritama li l-program dal-lum oġobkom u fil-program li mis sa-niskopru aktar dwar dan il-kittib Hans Christian Andersen u il-ħrejjef tiegħu. Semmejna diġa li dan il-kittib kien eċċentriku mhux ħażin. Tistgħu timmaġinaw xalata kien ikollhom il-psikjatri u l-psikoloġisti li kieku kellhom jistudjawh illum. Is-sess kwalità tiegħu ħarbtet ukoll l-akkademiċi. Allura tistgħu taħsbu kemm għandna x'narblu fil-programm li jmiss. U se jkolli nispjegalkom x'tip ta' djarju kien iżomm dan Hans Christian Andersen. Mela, sal-programm li jmiss, jiena Margaret Agius, insemmilkom.